Let's pray. Holy God, Spirit of light and life, we ask that you be present in this space, joining each of our hearts to one another in love and friendship beyond all compare. God, help us to see one another as dear friends and loved ones. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite you to imagine what it would have been like to be a Galilean fisherman in 6 BCE. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to reflect on that experience, and so be warned. Look, fishing in the ancient Near East was arduous, thankless, and dangerous work. It hadn't really been a viable lifestyle in your father's day, but it was all he knew. And it wasn't really looking out to be a viable lifestyle in your day either, but it was all he taught you. You and your family barely brought in enough to keep a roof over your head, and definitely only barely enough to keep the tax collector satisfied, who seemed to be coming around more frequently than usual lately. Especially after only a few years ago, Herod got it in his head that it would do his career some good to get his name put across the emperor's desk, and so built a shining city on the west coast of Galilee, and you were paying for it, and you were displaced along with the rest of your community in the process. But you're faithful. And you trust in God's promise that someday the world will be fair and just and God will come to live in it with you and that somehow it will be accomplished through your people, the chosen people, restored to your former glory. One day, the news comes into town, a bold claim, but from reputable sources, that in fact, the Messiah has come. And I'm curious to know what your immediate reaction is to that news.
Gotta be kidding.
Yeah, what do you think? Yeah. Curiosity. Okay, sure. Yeah, Jenny. Excitement. Okay, you got to be kidding. Curiosity, excitement. What do you think, choir?
Optimism.
Elation. Okay, you guys aren't a skeptical crowd at all. Other reactions to the news that the Messiah has come. Carissa.
Finally.
Yeah, how? Another fella trying to tell us what we're doing right and doing wrong. Preach. Robert, did you put your hand up?
No.
Oh, okay. Do you have an opinion anyway?
No.
Yeah.
Disbelief.
Well, it comes to pass that one day Jesus ben Joseph, a carpenter from Nazareth, and a group of other humble working people like yourselves comes into town teaching, preaching, healing people, saying that the kingdom of God is at hand. And are you interested in participating? And since you're such an unskeptical, optimistic people, I'm sure with a little bit of trepidation you say yes. Travel with Jesus. And for weeks, the crowds of people that have come out to witness him preaching and teaching grow and get more enthusiastic and anxious and excited And as the energy of the crowds and the sighs reaches a crescendo that you think must be a breaking point, at one point Jesus says to you and the 11 others who first came with him, "Come with me." He takes you to a quiet, secluded place, up on a mountaintop, far away from all of the crowds. What do you think is going to happen? It's okay to talk. It's not scary. It's just church. He's going to talk to us. Okay, sure. Jesus is a chatty man. Probably he's got some words to say. What do you think, choir? What's going to happen? There's going to be food, hopefully. other folks, what do you think? What do you hope is going to happen? Enlightenment, you hope. Teaching, you hope. What else do you hope is going to happen? Some kind of manifesto. What else do you hope? He's going to bring the kingdom of God. What do you think? He's going to gather the crowds and start the revolution.
Get rid of the government.
Get rid of the government. Down with the emperor. I hear you. Jesus pauses and takes a breath, puts his hand up into the signal that you've begun to associate with him teaching, says, "You've come in search of the kingdom of God." He looks out at the 12 of you. "Here it is. We're living in a world that values intelligence and charisma, money and power." I'm paraphrasing a little bit. God's vision of the world exalts the exact opposite. The poor, the vulnerable, the hungry, the meek, the powerless. That's the charter of the kingdom of God. The 12 of us are going to make it real through living as though it were already. So I invite you to make a commitment to one another, not just to love your enemies, or not just to love your friends, but to love your enemies. Let's make a commitment to one another, not just to strike back when it's justified for us to do so, but when somebody strikes us, to stand resolute with the possibility that they might do it again. Let's make a commitment with one another, not just not to kill people, but not to be angry with one another, not to call one another a fool or all manner of unkind words. And when we fail at these things, which we almost certainly will frequently, that as we gather with one another, we will reconcile again and again and again. Let's make a commitment to one another that our love for one another will be so powerful that it will be like the bright light of a city on the hill. People will be able to see it and know that there is warmth there and love and care in that place. Let's make a commitment that our love for one another will be so great that all of the world will be able to see it and know that God is at work in the world. The good news and the terrifying, challenging news that I'm, is that challenge and invitation is true for us as well. We too have been invited and challenged to take up that charter. And as we've been baptized and baptizing, we too have become citizens of that kingdom. We too have been invited to love one another with a love that is so great that all of the world will be able to see it and know that that is a place of warmth and love and care. Can I get some hot takes on that one? How do you feel? It's church. It's okay. You don't have to be scared.
Inadequate.
Yeah, what else? Hopeful. Do you want to say more about that? It sounds like a little bit of a nervous hope, but hope nonetheless.
It takes courage.
Challenging. Others, how do you feel about that? It's okay, you don't have to be afraid. I promise, I'm not going to bite you.
Maturity.
Innocence. How do you feel, choir? You think it's going to be hard? It's going to be hard. Yeah, really hard.
It may work because it hasn't, what we've been doing hasn't worked before. This one may work.
This one might work. Okay. For me, I've got two fears. One, it seems like it's probably impossible. And two, how do we know it's going to work? I'll say two things, and this is maybe controversial. It's very Christian of me. But two things happened between Jesus offering that challenge and invitation to his disciples and Jesus offering that challenge and invitation to us. And those two things address those two fears that I have, and maybe they address some of the fears that I've heard from you. First one is that Jesus got executed. And I still, as a 25-year-old, don't quite know what to do with Jesus' crucifixion. But I will tell you that it seems possible to me that Jesus was aware of the congruence between his narrative in which the last were first and the first were last, the leaders were servants to one another, where the humble would inherit the earth, and a narrative in which somebody anointed as king of the Jews might be executed. For what it's worth, he walked the talk. So it's possible. My other fear was that we might do it and then it might not work. The world might not change. And this one is a much scarier thing, and it's a harder faith to lean on every day, mostly because it doesn't cozy up well with scientific materialism, and I respect that. But nevertheless, we say it with one another every time we have communion, and so long as it's true, it makes it a lot easier to believe that the world could change in this vision. We say together, Christ has died, Christ is risen. And I can't imagine a better affirmation for a vision of the kingdom of God than somebody cheating death. The The other thing we say to one another every time we gather, except very nearly today when it was so important for my sermon that we do so, is peace be with you. And we greet one another with the peace of Christ. Peace of Christ, which reconciles and is reconciling. And every week we come with our cantankerousness and frustration, and I'm cranky and cantankerous, so it goes. And we do the work necessary to reconcile. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Again and again and again. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. And for me, at the very least, when I squint a little bit, I see the kingdom of God present in that act. The presence of Jesus here with us. A new charter still emerging, and all of us present in it. The peace of Christ be with you all. Amen.